Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God, Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'd like to read three verses, 18, 19, and 20. The Bible said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, there are several times in the Bible. One was with Hannah. You remember that. The other was the day of Pentecost. Those are two that pop up in my mind, where the people were so under the influence of a holy God that those that were observing them thought they were drunk. And I'm not saying we need to act like a drunk. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that the Lord, just the way that a person can come under the influence of alcohol, there's something controlling them from outside of them. God desires that someone, the Holy Spirit is not something, someone, He's a person, would control us from inside of us. He lives in us. I don't know about you, but that's a blessed privilege to carry Him around. Everywhere I go, Jesus said, "I'm going to go away, but He said, I'm going to send you another comforter." And Sister Michelle, He's the one that speaks that sweet peace. The Bible said, "Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." A lot of people read that and they think that's about getting more of the Spirit. Actually, if you'll study your Bible, you get all of the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you get saved. But it's about the Holy Spirit getting more of us. Amen. The Bible said, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to stand here once again at Bible Way, Lord. Lord, to get to share with my precious people what You've put on my heart. God, I can't help but believe, Lord, You're moving in our midst. Lord, You know my heart. I'd love to see someone saved. I'd love to see someone introduced to this peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, there's several we're praying for. God, we just ask You to work. Lord, I am glad someone prayed for me. Lord, I thank You tonight for the Scripture, and I pray that You'll make it real in our hearts, in our hearing. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This morning, we talked about the importance of singing in the house of God. And if you think about that, that's public singing. Singing as we gather together. Amen. I do believe, as I said this morning, that the children of Israel many times sang even on their way to the house of God. I dare say if you could have been in the hills and hollers years ago where people were walking to church or people were riding a horse to church or riding a buggy to church, I dare say it would not have been strange at all to hear God's people singing on the way to the house of God. I know this. Years ago, I had a bus ministry when I was first saved, and one of them old big yeller school buses. And I know it was a lot of fun with the kids, just keep them busy, amen, singing songs on the way to the house of God. You say, why would you want to keep them busy? Because when you've got youngins, it's meaner than snakes, amen. You better give them something to do, amen. They'll be hanging out the window of that bus. But I appreciate God's people. Tonight, the emphasis is not on public singing, but on private singing. I'm glad that, and I mean this, that I can sit there on that front bench and someone can play a tune. I'm glad for two things. Number one, it's familiar. I've been around the house of God long enough to know what they're playing. Amen. I may not be able to get every word, but I get a word here and there. But number two, not only do I recognize what they're playing, but my heart begins to swell. Amen. Singing has its place in the heart of God's people. I'm not saying this to pump you up or prime you up or anything like that. But there's times, Brother Dale, when that choir will sing a song on Sunday morning or Sunday night, I carry it all week. I mean, over and over and over and over in my heart, I carry that song. Someone will sing a special, and it'll just play like hitting repeat over and over and over. There's times I lay down at night, and the last thing I think about is that song. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I believe God wants us to make melody in our heart to the Lord. Amen. And I appreciate the scripture and what God will teach us tonight. I'm just going to give you three things tonight. The importance of singing in the heart of God's people. Don't take offense to what I'm about to say. I'm just kind of introduce some of these thoughts tonight. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen to me tonight. You can hit every note just perfect. But if your heart's not right with God, are you listening to me? I believe that singing needs to come from the heart. If a man of God would get in this pulpit and try to preach, and I've seen it, it's a mess to show off. I've been in meetings where one man would try to out-preach another man. Brother John, you've seen it, I guarantee it. And it is a mess. Brother Jack told Brother John years ago, he said, every man of God just needs to be their self. You don't need to be trying to imitate somebody else or copy somebody else. But I'm going to tell you, the same goes for singing. If a man is not preaching from his heart and it doesn't have the touch of God on it, it's not going to help anybody. And the same goes for singing. We need to, if you sing in the church, man, get in a prayer closet and say, God, touch it. God, I want it to come out of my mouth, but I don't want it to stop in their ears. I want it to go plumb down in their heart and minister to them. And I believe that's a worthy request of the Lord. Let me give you three things tonight. Number one, when we look at the importance of singing in the heart of God's people, I'm going to show you an example tonight in the scripture. It needs to be a heart that is clean. A heart that is clean. Well, notice what the Bible said. I'm not going to read all the verses, but you could read verse 1 all the way through verse number 13 in Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Verse 3, but fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous. It's amazing, isn't it, that these verses are in the same chapter with be filled with the Spirit, amen, and sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. You say, Pastor, why are those verses there? Because they're important. God didn't put anything in the Bible that's not important, and He didn't put it out of place, amen. I need to be able to preach tonight with a clean heart, and all of us that sing, all of you all that sing, you need to be able to sing with a clean heart. I believe it's important. Let me show you what I mean. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 51 for a moment tonight. I'm not going to labor the point, but I just want to share something with you. The book of Psalms, chapter number 51. And I believe the Lord will teach us something here tonight. Everybody knows that studied the Bible much at all, that Psalm 51 is David's prayer of repentance. David messed up. And lots of times when you say David, the first thing you think about is Goliath. Lots of times when you say David, the first thing you think about is Bathsheba. I mean, the man of God messed up. I'm not making excuses for him. Amen. But I'm telling you, Nathan stood toe-to-toe with him, told him a story, and he said, "You're the man. Thou art the man." What a blessing that was. But watch what the Bible said. David is getting right with God. In verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say, listen, it's not halo shining time. Every one of us can get something in our heart that don't belong there. Amen. And if we're going to have that singing that is effective and that preaching that's effective, then we got to have a clean heart before the Lord. He said, "Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." Bible scholars say this is from 12 months to 13 months, a year to 13 months, since the sin was committed with Bathsheba. Now, I'm not going to fall out with anybody over that. But I guarantee you this. David describes it like his bones drying up. I guarantee you he wasn't singing during that time. I guarantee you his harp was hung on the willow. And he didn't have a song in his heart unto the Lord, because his heart was not clean. Watch what the Bible said in Psalms chapter 40. Over just a little piece. I'll give you something here. This will help you tonight. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit." Has he ever done that for you? Do you remember when he did that for you? Thank you, Michelle, for telling us about a little 8-year-old girl that realized she's in a horrible pit and needed to be lifted out and knew that Jesus was the only one that could lift her out. "He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." But that ain't all he did. Look at verse 3. "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Watch this now. I'm going to teach you something tonight. "Many, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Now, go back to Psalm chapter 51 for just a moment. I'll show you why I believe David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Look at verse 13. Then David had lost his song. David's heart had gotten dirty. And David needed to get his heart cleaned up, because he knew there was people all around him that he influenced. And he said, "If you'll give me my joy back, Lord," and I don't think it's doing a disservice to the Word of God, "God, if you'll give me my song back, amen. God, if you'll just clean my heart up and you give me my song back, amen." I believe David said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee." I'm not real smart, but I'm smart enough to know this. I believe what David is saying right there. It's been a year, and people ain't getting saved. It's been a year and I don't have a song. It's been a year and my joy is gone. And God, I want it back. Amen. Because then will transgressors be converted unto thee. So it needs to come. The importance of singing in the heart of God's people. That song needs to come from a heart that is clean. You remember about our prayer. God said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Well, if we're singing to the Lord, Brother Jack, if he won't hear our prayer, you think he'd hear our song?
I doubt it, don't you? Amen. If he ain't going to hear a man pray because of what he's got in his heart and refusing to deal with, he ain't going to hear a song from a man that's got something in his heart and he's refusing to deal with. I want to see if I can find this. Read something to you tonight. It was a blessing to me. Let's see here. Here it is. David said, then will sinners be converted? He said, many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I've never heard of anything like this, but there was a man that was converted through the president of a college through his singing. Watch this now. His name was President Woolsey, W-O-L-S-E-Y. When D.L. Moody visited New Haven in 1878, R.A. Torrey was a student in the university there. He said, the ripest scholar in the university at the time, if not the ripest in America, was President Woolsey, ex-president of Yale University. One night a young man went to hear Mr. Moody preach, and President Woolsey sat on the platform. And when they sang the old gospel hymns, President Woolsey, himself a gray-haired scholar, joined in singing the hymns with all his heart. The young man said, well, if one of the greatest scholars in America can sing those hymns in that way, there certainly must be something in it. And he was converted that night, not through Mr. Moody's preaching, but through President Woolsey's singing. A man sang with all of his heart unto the Lord, and it made an impression on a young man that came to hear Mr. Moody preach. Amen. I pray tonight that we can understand that God can use the importance of singing in the heart of God's people, the importance of singing in the house of God to help others come to know Christ as their Savior. Number two, not only does it need to be a heart that is clean, but it needs to be a heart that is circumspect. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I don't know where what I did here. There it is. I've got it now. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible said, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. How many of you believe a lot of God's people are asleep today? I mean sound asleep. Amen. And God said, wake up. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now I'm not the smartest fella in the room, I know that. So last night I had to use my Bible program to see what that word was talking about, that word circumspect. And what it means is perfect. Now, perfect is not sinless perfection, but it's talking about a maturity. It's talking about diligence, being diligent. God said here, he's looking for a heart that's not only clean, but a heart that is serious about the things of God. A heart, beloved, that is diligent about the things of God. God said, I can use that heart, amen, that heart that's circumspect. A heart that's diligent it belongs to a man that's awake. It belongs to a man that's not walking like a fool, but walking like wise. The Bible said the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's what the Word of God said. And then that person that's walking circumspect is not wasting his time, but he's redeeming the time because he realizes the days are evil. And then that person that's walking circumspect, the Bible said he's not only not unwise, but he understands what the will of the Lord is. One of the saddest statements I think I've ever made in my ministry, and I believe it's true. Many of God's people live and die and never discover the will of God for their life. I mean that. I don't mean it to be a derogatory statement, but honey, I tell you something tonight. We need, you see, I personally believe that God is not interested in hiding his will. I just don't believe some Christians are interested in seeking his will. Amen. But if we'll seek his will, he'll show us his will. If we'll be diligent about it. I heard something about the guy that was playing Bible roulette. You know what that is? You just turn to a page and you stick your finger in it. Amen. And I don't know if I can remember it exactly, but he stuck his finger down on the scripture that says, Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, that ain't going to work. He turned to another one. He said, go thou and do likewise. He turned to another one and said, what thou doest, do quickly. That ain't the way to do it. Say amen. That ain't the way to do it. We're to be diligent, a heart that's clean, a heart that's circumspect. And then this goes along with what I just said about the will of God. And I'll close with this tonight. A heart that concurs. Have you ever heard somebody say, they're talking to somebody and somebody say, I concur. That just simply means, I agree. What you're saying, I agree with what you're saying. That's what it means. But watch what the Bible said. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speak into yourself. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say in this last thing? We need to get to a place, beloved, where we're not bucking the Spirit of God. Amen. One preacher said it like this. He said, sheep follow. He said, them rams, but. Or no, he said goats. That's what he said. He said, them goats, but. Amen. I would, but. But listen, if we're God's people and we're God's sheep, then we ought to be concurring with the Holy Spirit. We ought to be agreeing with the Holy Spirit. We ought to seek His approval. Amen? That's what we need. Amen. Many are living their lives for the approval of men. We need more young people, more moms, more dads, more mamas, more papas, living their life for the approval of God. I'll tell you, I went to Wise, the pastor of my first church. And I won't tell the whole story, but it was God that put me there. And I knew that. I wouldn't have taken the church if the Lord hadn't have led me that way. But I'd been there a couple of years. Brother Jack, God was blessing. My dad and I had to tear out a door opening and make it a great big arch so people could sit on the side. I'm telling you, 125 people packed that church out. I mean, packed it out. It was a country church, Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. By the way, I've had many people ask me where I went to school. The answer is always the same. Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. That's where I went to school. Amen. Brother Junior, you know what I'm talking about. Say amen. I seen him pointing up here at me. Amen. That's where I went to school. But there's a neighbor come over. God was blessing Sister Evelyn. The neighbor come over and he said, hey, he was a lost man. His name was Wheatley. He had an apple orchard. He said, I don't see how you're doing it. I don't know how you're doing it. I said, doing what, brother? He said, I just don't see how you please them all. The church had a reputation. I'll just say it like that. Amen. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'm not. He said, you're not? I said, no. Told him when I come here, I aim to please the Lord. If they liked it, I was glad for them. And if they didn't like it, I was sad for them. But I'm not living my life to please people. I want to live my life to please the Lord. Say amen. And I believe people that love the Lord, if my life is pleasing to the Lord, will love my life too. Amen. And the ministry that God has given me. So agreeing with the Holy Spirit. We ought to agree with the Holy Spirit, number one, in our hearts. In verse 19 and verse number 20, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe when we're thankful, we're agreeing with the Holy Spirit, we'll be thankful in our hearts and we'll agree with Him in our hearts. The second thing that God showed me here in the Scripture, a heart that concurs, agrees with the Holy Spirit, is approved by the Holy Spirit. Not only in our hearts is there a measure, but in our homes. In verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband's the head of the wife. Now the women's livers, they don't like that stuff. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what right now. If a home's out of order, there ain't no song in that home. God set it up the way God set it up. And I tell you, you might as well go ahead and agree with the Holy Spirit, because he ain't going to change his mind. God set it up. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'll tell you something right now. You take a husband that'll love his wife the way the Bible said, he'll never have to stick his chest out and say, I'm the boss in this home. He'll never have to do that. Because, beloved, there'll be such love. There'll be such unity. Christ, the head of the man is the head of the home. I tell them this in marriage counseling all the time. When there's a disagreement, talk about it. Submit to yourself. Listen to one another. But I tell you, the husband's going to carry the responsibility before God for that decision. And the wife is going to give an account to God for how she followed, how she prayed for her husband, even if she thinks he's wrong. Nothing wrong with getting in the prayer closet and saying, God, I can't show him. Would you? Amen. Amen. You liked that, didn't you, Shannon? He must have done that somewhere along the way. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, if God shows you, you know what a husband will do? He'll say, honey, you was right. I was wrong. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that among believers saying, I was wrong and I want you to forgive me? Amen. Just get our hearts right with one another and right with God. In our hearts, in our homes, we need to agree with the Holy Spirit, but then in the house of God. And where I get that from is in verse 26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Miss Eve, how many cans of beans did you put up this year, honey? How many? 54? Okay, I shouldn't have told you all that. You'll be down there wanting to get some beans. Amen. We still had beans left over from last year, and we'd had a lot more this year. Man, it got dry. I mean dry. It got dry. We tried to water them and save them and this, that, and the other. But you know what a woman that cans does? She listens for the seal. Y'all, if you don't can, you've got a mother or grandmother somewhere along the way. Ping, ping, ping. Then they love to say, they're all sealed. My wife went through this morning. She didn't hear the ping, so she's just checking the jar tops. She canned some apples yesterday. There you come again. Amen. Amen. Good old cat head biscuit. Amen. A big slab of butter on it. Let it melt. Throw them apples on it. Glory to God. Amen. But you know what I often wondered? When I look in the mirror, and I'm not talking about physical wrinkles, I see them too. The Bible said he's going to present it without spot, without wrinkle. A glorious church. I used to wonder, Sister Kevin, how's he going to do that? I see so many spots in my life. I see so many wrinkles in my life. I won't be dogmatic about this, but I believe God showed me something. That night, if you've ever been born again, if you've ever been saved, you can go to that place. You may not remember the exact day, but that night when I knelt in that altar and I trusted Jesus as my... How many remembers the feeling? I mean, you're not saved by feelings, but honey, God took a load off of you. God washed you whiter than the driven snow. Say amen. Well, what I'm getting at is that's when the Holy Ghost went ping. And he sealed me. Hallelujah. Now when we go get them beans out this winter, they're not going to be like 6-month-old beans. They're going to be just like the day Miss Eve put them in the jar. And you know when Jesus comes after me, there ain't going to be no spots and wrinkles, because I'm going to be just like the day. Say amen. That the Holy Ghost of God put that seal on my life. Why did the Bible say until the day of redemption. Amen. Won't be necessary after that, because I'll have a glorified body. I'll be just like the Son of God in the house of God. Now let me give you this, and I'm finished tonight. The Bible said in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Watch this now. In that verse, "you were sometimes darkness," we see our past. But watch, look in verse number 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Right there we see our present. But then when you go over to verse 27, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church," we see our future. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know about the future of America. But I do know about the future of God's people. Honey, it's bright. It's just as bright as it's ever been. Say amen. Our Lord's coming. And he's coming for a bride that's got on that robe of righteousness, been washed in the blood. Amen. If you're from Southwest Virginia, you're washed. Amen. Amen. Washed in the blood. Oh, Brother Rightly Salen, he said, he used to say it often. He'd say, "Are you whitewashed or are you washed white?" You whitewash an old fence, Brother Shannon, and it's the same old fence underneath. But I tell you what, a lot of people, that's what religion will do. It'll whitewash you. But honey, the Lord Jesus will wash you white. He'll wash you white. He'll clean you up. Amen. He'll put a song in your heart. The importance of singing in the heart of God's people. I'll read this to you, and we'll close tonight. The Bible said singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? I want you to think about this. An elderly woman who was a true saint of God in her lifelong devotion, she knew much of the Bible by heart, and she would repeat long passages from memory. But as the years went by, the strength went, and with it memory gradually went too. Finally, there came the time when she was able to only quote one passage. "I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." But by and by, that also seemed to slip. So there came a time when all she said was, "that which I've committed unto him." But toward the last, as she hovered between this world and the next, her memory failed even more. Her loved ones would see her lips moving, and thinking that she might need something, they would bend down and listen for her request. Time and time again, they found her repeating only one word from this song over and over and over. It was the same word, him. 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 She had lost the whole song. She had lost the entire Bible, with the single exception of one word. And what a word it is. She had encapsulated the entire Bible in this one word. The Bible is him. And him is Jesus. I love that, don't you? "I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him." When we sing and our heart is clean, our heart is circumspect, our heart agrees and concurs with the Holy Spirit, it's not about us. It's about him. Amen. Father, tonight, thank you for the wonderful, wonderful time we've had together in the house of God today. Lord, I do pray in Jesus' name.
for those in our church, Lord, that don't yet know you. God, I know what you did for me, Lord, and I know what you've done for countless others. And I know what you desire to do for them. It's not your will, Lord, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray, dear Father, tonight in the quietness of this moment, Lord, that you'd help us to examine our heart. Lord, if there's anything here that don't belong there, help us to get it out, get it under the blood, to get clean. Help us this week, Lord, to be circumspect, to be diligent in our Christian life, diligent in our prayer, diligent in our Bible study, diligent in our witnessing. And Lord, I pray that each step we take would meet the approval of the precious Holy Spirit that lives within us. Lord, we thank you for sealing us until the day of redemption. And Lord, though it's hard for us to imagine, you said it in your word, there's coming a day when we'll meet you without spot, without wrinkle. And truly, Lord, what a day that's going to be. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed for just a moment.